so I wanted to stick to my word. Great to have you again here all this morning. As Paul mentioned, I'm one of the deacons here at Submerged Church, and I oftentimes will forget my little deacon pin, but so you know, it's there, just in case they want to mess with the mojo of the sport coat, so I got it right there. Again, it's so awesome to be here and a privilege to be sharing God's word with you this morning. Is Jesus your best friend? You know, you might just instantly, if you're asked that, just say, well, yeah, of course, yes. Jesus is my best friend. And that's my instant answer as well. But oftentimes, I think as in my life, I roll along and oftentimes I don't actually act and treat Jesus as if he really is my best friend. And I'm going to share some of my thoughts as I roll along this morning. Next slide, please, Charlton. There's a picture of friendship up here. Some kids on the screen. Some young kids developing their little friendships as they go along in life and starting out with some bonding and playing and just having fun together. Next picture, please. This is an older picture of adults in adulthood. A lot of great friendships that people have with many, many people. Men, women have friendships all over the world. And they bond, and they rely on each other. They count on each other. They laugh together. They cry together. All these things happen as friends. Next slide, please, Charlton. A true friendship is someone who sees the pain in our eyes while everyone else believes the smile on your face. Next one, please, Charlton. Henry Ford said, "My best friend is the one who brings out the best in me." There's a lot of truth to that, perhaps. Next slide. Best friends. Because if anyone else heard our conversations, we'd end up in the mental hospital. That, at times, if you go to the very next slide, my best friend, my human best friend on this earth is my wife, Monica. And we have some conversations oftentimes that I'm sure if people were listening in would say, oh my goodness, what is going on there? Yet, the other morning, my wife said, what is in your head? How do you come up with these ideas? And I said, oh, it's just talking, you know. But she accepts me for who I am, and she is my best friend on this earth. Next slide, please. Who is this a picture of? Anybody? Okay, picture of Jesus. That would be what, and I would caution us, I put together this message the last several weeks, I would caution us all to pause for a moment and say, well, that's what artists have depicted Jesus to look like. You know, at the time Jesus walked this earth, there was long hair, beards. That was the custom of the day. So did Jesus look something like this? Maybe, probably, but we don't know for sure. Some said Jesus was a hippie traveling around in a commune with his disciples. We just don't know for sure. The pictures today show a resemblance of this that some people say look like Jesus, but we don't know. We don't have a picture, an actual picture of Jesus. And God did that on purpose. God did that so we would not worship an image. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we listen carefully today, God, to your plan of redemption for the world. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for all of us, and all that believe may have eternal life in heaven. Amen. Next slide, please, Charlton. The big idea is Jesus your best friend is the name of my message. But the big idea that I want to kind of hopefully resonate a little bit, maybe when you walk out the doors today, is you see on the screen, treat Jesus like your real best friend. And I'll share some thoughts about that as I go through. Probably Jesus for sure is your best friend from 10:30 to 11:30 on a Sunday morning. But a lot of times, maybe for all of us, how about Monday through Saturday? Where are we at with our relationship and our friendship with Jesus then? So as I share this message, I'll share biblical truth that God's laid before me. And Billy Graham, I'm kind of a Billy Graham. He was probably the world's most renowned evangelist ever. And I'm kind of a Billy Graham junkie. I like to put YouTube and put on Billy Graham sermons when I'm doing a sheetrock project in the garage or painting. I just love to listen to Billy Graham sermons. I'll also share some personal thoughts of my friendship with Jesus and maybe some things I do okay at or pretty good at, but things that can distract me. Am I falling apart here, Charlton? There we go. Get me locked back in here. Thank you. So, you know, I'm in the business world. God's put me, blessed me with a business that I have, and talked to different businesses and my customers, and many times they might be struggling in business, and they'll talk about business principles, different ways to grow their business, and they'll say, yeah, I know all that. We know all that works. But yet they don't take action. They won't put the action and put the car in gear and leave the driveway. So that, if they got the game plan but don't put it in action, the analogy would be with us, with Jesus. If we don't put that friendship in action, it doesn't do us as much good. Next slide, Charlton. The first step in friendship with Jesus is to know him. Is to know him. There may be, perhaps, in our nation's churches today, this may be an hour of decision for some people in our country that don't know Jesus. Once you've heard the message of Jesus Christ and heard the gospel, you'll never be the same. Whether someone rejects Jesus as their Savior or someone accepts Jesus as their Savior, either way, they will never be the same. God's word says in the Bible, when the rich young ruler rejected the claims of Jesus, he walked away grieved. He was deeply troubled. Rejecting Jesus is a very serious thing. You can temporarily escape Jesus, but not forever. Next slide, please. Philippians 2:8 through 11. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, even becoming obedient to death, even on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, for the glory of God the Father. I highlighted, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Sometimes we'll be talking to people or mentoring them a little bit about Scripture and sharing the gospel with them, and kind of like, that Bible stuff, that Jesus stuff, I just got no interest in that. Don't buy it. Don't believe it. And at this point in time, they may very well not, but at some point in time, as God's word tells us, that every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Back in the day of Jesus, next slide, please. Share a little bit about Jesus is the Son of God. Luke 11:29-32. Jesus said, as the crowds increased, Jesus said, this is a wicked generation. It asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. They condemn it. Excuse me. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here. Something greater than Jonah is here. And that is Jesus. People wanted a sign back in Jesus' day. Jesus said, I will give you a sign. Jesus said, I am the sign. I am the light of the world. The sign, the Son of God. We can't escape Jesus. If you do a little history, even in my short lifetime, years ago, there was an opera, Jesus Christ Superstar. If you remember hearing about that, it was years and years ago. In that song, there was a lyric that says, Jesus, are you who they say you are? Jesus is everywhere. If you go back in 2004, Mel Gibson made a movie, show of hands here. How many went to Passion of the Christ? Okay, many hands. Passion of the Christ was a powerful, powerful movie. I had an experience when I left that theater that I've never experienced ever before. My wife and I went to the theater in Grand Forks, and as we left, walking down the big corridor to go out to the parking lot, it was very solemn. Nobody looked at each other. Nobody talked. People were changed from watching that movie. Whether they accepted or rejected Jesus, they were changed. I left that movie in silence as well. Young people on campuses today, they're talking about Jesus everywhere you go. They're not saying, who is Buddha? Tom Short is out on the NDSU campus, and they're saying, who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus? People try and run from Jesus, but there he is. Pops up everywhere. People write about him. People love Jesus. People hate Jesus. As sad as that is. There are poems, architecture, paintings, music, movies, images all around the world of Jesus. Jesus only lived 33 years, only traveled about 100 miles, but still, Jesus is talked about 2,000 years later. Jesus has, next slide, infinite wisdom. I want to learn from the best. I want to learn from Jesus. I want to learn from Almighty God. Jesus has that wisdom. Where do you find it? Where would you say you'd find it? Any guesses? The Bible. Amen. In the Bible. That is where we find the wisdom of Jesus. There's many, many accounts of that wisdom. Back in that day, if you did something wrong, if you had a crime or did a terrible sin, they would stone you. They would literally, the people would throw rocks and stones at you until you were dead. They would stone you. So they came to Jesus and they said, hey, this lady has committed this crime of our day here. And what do you say? Shall we kill her? Shall we stone her? And Jesus said to them, yet let the person that who has not sinned cast the first stone. So they let her live. And then the time Jesus was tempted, the leaders of that day, they would ask, I think I brought my little coin with me. They asked, basically they're trying to trick Jesus. They're saying, who should we worship? Who should we follow? Should we follow you or should we follow Caesar? They were trying to trick Jesus. So Jesus said, hand me a coin. So they handed Jesus a coin. Jesus looked on that gold coin and he said, whose picture's on this coin? And they said, Caesar. Well, then Jesus said, well, render under Caesar what is Caesar's and render under God what is God's. Men are no match for the wisdom of Jesus. Next slide. Jesus is building an eternal kingdom. These are not in your bulletin, but if you want to jot down these verses, 1 Chronicles 22:10, he is the one who will build a house for my name. He will be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom of Israel, over Israel forever. Next, Revelations 11:15, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven, which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. Eternal kingdom, heaven. Book of Revelation is an awesome book to study. You think about heaven. The Bible tells us there is no sorrow. There is no sin. There is no sadness. There's no pain. There's no grieving. There's no sun. There's no sunshine. There's no moon. None of that is in heaven. But heaven is radiant. Heaven is lit up by God's glory. Can you imagine that? No sun, no moon, but it's lit up bright and radiant every day, 24/7, for eternity by God's glory. That is amazing. Next slide. Jesus walked this earth as a man. He went through everything that you and I do. Everything that we've went through, Jesus was identified, Bible says, and numbered as a man. So we know he was a man in those days. Jesus hung out with sinners. We know he got hungry. We know he got thirsty. We know Jesus wept at the tomb, near the gravesite of the death of a loved one. The Bible says Jesus never committed a sin. Can you imagine that? 33-year-old man or woman and never committing a sin. Can you imagine if I said that? Oh my goodness, my wife would be saying, I've seen that man sin. Everybody in this room would say, I've seen Don Arvidson sin. We've all sinned. Jesus went through every temptation that we go through, but he overcame them all. Jesus was human, just like we are. Jesus stilled the thunder when he walked this earth. He stopped the rain. He calmed the sea when he was with the disciples out in the boat. Jesus has the power over nature. He could throw the lightning and the thunder, stop the thunder just at the sound of his voice. Jesus, back in the day, had authority over disease when he walked this earth. Made the blind to see. He cast out demons. Jesus made the deaf to hear. Powerful man that walked this earth because he wasn't a man. Next slide. Jesus was not just a man. Jesus is truly the Son of God. Jesus asked Peter on the road to Damascus, he goes, hey, Peter, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? What do men say about me? And Peter said, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist, come back to life. Jesus said, no, no, Peter, I'm not interested in what others say about me. I'm interested in what you say, Peter. What do you say about who am I? And Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Jesus taught like no other person. Jesus lived the perfect life. Jesus said, you must be born again to enter my kingdom. Romans 10:9-10, Jesus said, you need both. You need to confess, believe in your heart. You need to, number one, believe in your heart. Number two, you need to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Did you know there's only three charges made against Jesus to crucify him? Only three charges. And they were obviously all unfounded charges, but nonetheless, it was God's ordained plan that Jesus died. Number one, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. That was the number one charge against him. Number two, he healed on the Sabbath. What a terrible sin that is, to heal someone on the Sabbath. Number three, the man loved sinners. Jesus loved sinners. Those three charges. He loved sinners, he healed on the Sabbath, and he claimed to be the Son of God. Never a man like Jesus. At his death, the thunder roared and the earth shook. Earthquakes happened, and even the soldiers said, this truly must be the Son of God. Even at that moment, dying that horrible death, at the snap of a finger, 72,000 angels were ready, drawn swords, to come and save Jesus. But Jesus said, no, no, to this end I was born. Think about the awesomeness of Jesus. He belongs to the whole world. He belongs to Asia, Africa, Europe, the United States. Everyone, Jesus, belongs to the world. Next slide, please. Jesus forgave sins. No prophet ever did that. Jesus forgave sins. Think about that. As they're pounding nails into the hands and the feet of Jesus, he still forgave them. Jesus forgave the men that were pounding nails into his hands and his feet. It's amazing to think about that. Could you do that? Could I do that? Forgive those people that are pounding those vicious spikes into his hands and into his feet. Jesus said, it's finished. What did Jesus mean by that? Jesus meant he had finished God's plan of salvation for you and for me. The resurrection. Jesus is alive today. Some Christians in this world still run around acting as if Jesus is dead. Jesus is alive. Jesus is right in that chair next to you. Jesus is alive today. Praise God. We can't prove it scientifically. I've sat with people and talked to them about Jesus and, you know, I walk this earth and they'll say, you're a nutbag. You buy into that stuff. I mean, that crazy notion that Jesus walked and he raised from the dead, all this stuff. You really believe that stuff? And I say, yeah, if I believe it. I can't prove it to you scientifically, but I believe it because the Bible says it. And I believe it. I said, for no other reason I believe it, because of what God's done for me. He's changed my life. For no other reason I know that it is true. Back to Billy Graham. Billy Graham would say in his messages, I can prove it. I can prove it. Jesus is real by the lives that Jesus transforms every single day. I don't think, I don't know, I don't hope. I know Jesus is alive, says Billy Graham. It's a free gift. It's a choice. We know that. It's called faith. Ephesians 2:8-9. Give a dollar bill to a cashier. You think about that. If you give a dollar bill, you have faith to believe that you're going to be able to walk out with that item. We have the faith every day in our lives. We drive down the road on a two-lane road, and you're coming down the road, someone's coming this way, and you just have the faith that they're not going to hit you. You don't go drive in the ditch. You drive in the other lane just having the faith that you're not going to get crashed into. We sit in this chair. I've made this analogy before. You don't inspect it. You don't look at it. You just have the faith that that chair is going to hold you up. What if all in this world had that same faith and put it in Jesus? Then all of us can know who he is. Next slide, please, Charlton. PowerPoint slide. Jesus is available to be the friend of everyone. So one of the key words in there is available. Jesus is available to be the friend of everyone. There's false teaching. You hear it all the time. Even hear it from some of our politicians on the news reports. They'll make a little comment. Maybe at Easter time or Christmas, they'll say, oh, we are all God's children. And they'll tout this like it's just the gospel truth. Oh, yeah, we're all God's children. That is a false teaching. That is a false lie. It's a lie. We are not all God's children. A child of God is someone, next slide please, John 1:12. A child of God is, as God tells us, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It's a gift. It's a choice. We're not all children of God. God loves us all, but we're not all children until we make that personal choice to accept Jesus as our Savior. Jesus loves everyone and wants that relationship with everyone. Next slide. What distracts us with our friendship with Jesus? We've probably all got our reasons and our thoughts and things that can distract us. I know in my life I have things that can be distracting. We have to do that crazy three-letter swear word job. We got to go to our jobs. I love my job, by the way. I love what I do. But people have to do that. That's part of God wants us to work hard and to prosper and to give him the first fruits of our labor. God wants all that. But it takes time to do that. But there's other time in the day where we can spend more time with Jesus and we can run into distractions. I know sometimes for me, like we get different videos, different things with the internet. There's so much on it. There's all these YouTube videos and all these things. Do we spend more time on those kind of videos than we do on Jesus videos? Maybe so sometimes. Do I have a closer friendship with Fox News than I do with my best friend Jesus? My wife goes to bed early at night. She goes to bed like 8 or 8:30, and I'll get home and we'll have supper. We'll spend a little time talking and visiting, and then she'll get ready to go to bed, and I'll be on my computer doing some kind of mindless work things for office things or checking emails and doing these things, but I'll have the news on in the background. So my wife will come out and brush her teeth, and she'll come out and she'll look at the TV, she'll look at me, and she'll say, "Prepare to be stupefied." And I'll go, "What?" When she first said that, I go, "What?" She goes, "You know, prepare to be stupefied. You got your news on." I was thinking to myself as I was preparing this message, some of our news today is really crazy news. And spending so much time on that, I've made some changes now this past month putting this message together. In the mornings, I used to put my little iPhone thing on, listen to the news, and listen to what was going on. Now I just listen to my Bible app. And I listen to, I love Proverbs. I love the book of Proverbs, book of Revelation, Matthew, Mark. I'll listen to my Bible app in the morning now. Maybe reading. Maybe people love to read books and magazines. And who's some of these authors now, though? What's that one you've read before, Monica? Stephen King or whatever. I mean, there are all kinds of books and magazines. But do people sometimes spend more time reading those kind of books and magazines than they do about reading God's Word, reading the Bible? Maybe so. A lot of times we got events that are going on, like the 2018, the midterm elections just got behind us. And oh my goodness, I'll talk to friends about, I think sometimes they know more about Pelosi and Schumer and Kevin Cramer than they do about Jesus, for sure. I mean, it just sure seems like it. They just sit and talk. I'm going, man, you got some knowledge in that stuff. I think to myself, man, what about knowing more about their best friend Jesus or telling them about Jesus? Sports teams and sports athletes. I get caught up with this with my boys. I mean, we'll talk about Adam Thielen. We'll talk about how great his hands are. We'll talk about his athleticism, how he can just razor thin line on the sidelines and catch those passes. And we'll sit and just glow about Adam Thielen or the Vikings. And we do it all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes do we talk more about those things than we talk about Jesus? Maybe we talk more about athletes than we do about Jesus. I text my wife, my kids, I'll text my my coworkers, I'll text people. Sometimes do we text and get caught up in all the social media and things more than we do talking to our best friend Jesus for the day? Sometimes there's things we can do. I just think about these things often. Like, I know there's things that I can do different, like, God's blessed us with this. We got this old car my wife and I drive around in the summertime, and people will come up and say, "Oh, that's so shiny, and boy, that's such a nice car." So I think to myself, what I can do different as I go forward, I'll just always say, "Hey, thanks a lot," and then we go on our way. But that'd be a great opportunity to talk to them about Jesus. All I could do is I could say, "Hey, thanks. I appreciate that, but this is really God's car. It's not, I'm just let me use it. And then I can say, have you ever prayed about a decision about buying a car? Just asking Jesus to guide you for that decision. I can start conversations. We can talk about our jobs. We can talk about, I love my job. We can also say, you know what? I prayed about this job and God put this job in my lap and I'm really thankful to have this new job. Have you ever prayed about decisions for jobs or occupations? There's lots that we can do. On Thanksgiving Day, I was at my daughter Savannah's for turkey dinner and we were hanging out and we were playing games. And you know, I said something, it was a movie line I was thinking of that came out and sounded dumb. I can say, hey, you know what? I just asked Jesus to forgive me for that movie line that didn't sound right. Would you all forgive me for making that statement? We can do so much to bring Jesus to light. I was just in the getting ready to go and put this microphone thing on in the bathroom. They're talking to Thomas, and they're talking about just things like people when they might say, hear them say, God, and then the D word. They say, God, this, or they'll say, Jesus Christ in a non-praying manner, or they'll swear, or they'll do these things using God's name in vain. And what I have done, I was just sharing with Tom, I said, without exception, I just will say, oh, that's pretty cool. Are you praying right now? That's pretty neat. And they look at you, what now? I said, no, I heard you're saying Jesus Christ there. I said, I know him. I said, were you praying? I think that's pretty cool. And they obviously, they know, they get the message real clearly that, and they'll say a lot of times, oh, gee, I'm really sorry about that. And I said, oh, no, I just wanted to bring attention that just, you know, I love Jesus. I just thought maybe you're praying there. And I thought that was maybe something you were doing, even though I know they're not. Next slide. Jesus gave us the greatest gift of all, eternal life. The greatest gift. The world needs to know about Jesus. They need to know about our Savior, about eternal life. And again, I talked about it, but we're so shy sometimes not to talk about the greatest gift and our greatest friend and our best friend, Jesus. But yeah, we'll talk about the politics and the sports and the boats and the campers and all these things. I know I do it all the time. I think about when I go to lunch with friends, and I mentioned this in the past, I always just ask if I'm able, if they will let me just bless the food before we eat. And I mean, there's so many ways we can open the door to talk about Jesus. We can just, what would be wrong with this? I mean, I've done this. It's just so simple. Just say, hey, you know what? You ever heard about Jesus? Like, what do you know about him? Yeah, what do you think of him? It's just like talking about, hey, if you knew Adam Thielen, he's receiver for the Vikings, what do you think about him? Think he's pretty good? Same thing. Hey, you know, you ever heard about Jesus? What do you know about him? What do you think about him? We can ask those questions and open up those conversations. Next slide. Mark 16:15. He said to them, go into all the world, and preach the gospel to all nations. So you think about that. Wow, go ye into all nations. I sometimes go ye across the street. I won't even go ye across the street, let alone go ye into all nations and share the gospel of Jesus. Next slide, Christmas. Paul alluded to it. Christmas is just such an awesome time for open doors to talk about your best friend Jesus. It's just fantastic. If you kind of think about this maybe going forward, if you've talked to people that are saved or the unsaved people of the world, and they just don't know what it's like to be saved or don't know Jesus, but you think about this, if you talk to them, they oftentimes say things like, Christmas is, it's just really special. It's just a great time of year. I really enjoy it. It's just family and I just can't put my finger on it, but it's just so neat. It's just so, such a neat time of year. And the reason is, they'll say, I've got the Christmas spirit. I'm feeling the Christmas spirit this year. Well, guess what? The Christmas is the Holy Spirit. That is why Christmas is a little bit different than the 4th of July or Labor Day or Memorial Day. It's just a little different because people are feeling that, because the Holy Spirit is so present at Christmas in so many places. And I just think it's absolutely awesome when we can have that open door at Christmas time. I think of something, there's so simple things. You ever get an email or a Christmas card or something that says, Mary, and then there's a big X-MAS. Merry Xmas. How many have ever gotten an email that says, hey, Merry Xmas, or what are you doing for Xmas? Or you get a, maybe some Christmas cards even say Merry Xmas on it. So I've kind of made this my mission over the last several years. I've thought every time I see or get that, I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm just going to share my thoughts, and sometimes you might think, well, that Don's up there just talking about 100 miles an hour about different things. But I do put these things into practice by the grace of God and do the best I can. I'm not perfect. I have a lot of faults, and my wife has a list a mile long in her purse if you want to see them. I'm just kidding, honey. You don't really, do you? I was kidding. For a minute there, I thought maybe she did. Anyway, so, but I, just an example here. I've got a friend, his name is Dwayne. Dwayne was he's really a good guy, but he's not saved, but he's just a good guy, but he's got an edge to him. He's got kind of a tough edge to him. He's kind of rough, and he's got that personality that just kind of jaded. It's a little bit, just a little edgy, and you kind of got to watch sometimes what you say to Dwayne. He just kind of goes off, and he's kind of willing to be easier to temper, to anger. So Dwayne doesn't feel, it's like every Monday he sends me this email. It's like all this rambling on sports knowledge of everything. And truth be told, I can't read it all. It's just, it bores the daylights out of me. But I thank him for his emails. And hey, thanks Dwayne for the email today. And so he sent me one this last Monday. And this is the email he sent. You can put it up there, Charlton. So he sent, not, this isn't the email he sent, I'm sorry. I responded back to his email because he said, I said this to Dwayne from the email he sent me. Hey Dwayne, from your email on this abbreviation when you said, and weekend over Xmas-New Year's, please allow me to share my thoughts. I love Jesus Christ as my Savior. Instead of X, I love to share with my good friends, like you, how I always spell out Christmas. And I put Christ, I always put, instead of the X, I make Christ big, like they make the X big. I always like to spell out Christmas, not judging or browbeating anyone. Just love to share the good news of Jesus at Christmas time. Always enjoy hearing from you, my friend Dwayne. Don. So then that was on Monday, and I thought, you know, this really might stop these emails forever, because I just, you know, he's just that guy, I think, not, which is what it is. So I thought, I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder what he's going to do. Is he going to mention it? So the next morning, 8:38 a.m., I open up my inbox. And here's Dwayne's response that next day. Dwayne says, I hear you, Don. My godmother, Ann Rudolph, who never had kids of her own but taught Sunday school and vacation Bible school most all her life, she used to scold me for this shortcut, too. I never fail but to think of her when I shortcut Dwayne. I really looked at that email. I read it several times. I thought, man, Dwayne, it's not like he got saved that day. Praise God if he did, but it's just another seed for him to think about. Man, got grandma, and, oh man, Don's now, maybe it's resonating with him. We need to stand up for our friend Jesus. We don't need to browbeat people or make them feel embarrassed or ashamed, but we need to stand up. Stand up for Jesus. If I had a Christmas card, Candace, where'd you go? I took Rhea somewhere. Candace, where are you? She went somewhere. Candace, works in my office. She's a sweetheart. She's a great friend of mine. She works with me in my business. But Candace, if Candace and Craig sent me a Christmas card, and just pretend they sent me this card, and the card said, on the envelope, it said, Don and a big X, Arvidsson. So if that Christmas card said, Don and X Arvidsson, and then 6270, 35th Street South, Fargo, North Dakota. So if I got that Christmas card and I saw that on the envelope, what would I do? You think I'd maybe touch base with Candace and say, hey, Candace, I said, man, thanks a lot for the Christmas card. It's pretty neat, but I notice a big X on there. He's like Don and X. What's the X mean? Oh, I just left out Monica. It's not whatever. Just kind of, kind of just left her out. If that were to really truly happen, I would be sad. I'd be sad. I'd say, oh my goodness, Candace, thanks again for the car, but I sure do love my wife. If you wouldn't mind including her on the envelope next year, that'd be great. In closing, the last thought I would share with you is, next slide, please, Charlton. Paul alluded to it again as far as Christmas, and I'll come back to it. People are so, they come so close to Jesus at Christmas. They can become so close, but they just don't know the recipe, or they just don't know the way in. They just don't know the way to heaven through Jesus. They don't know that they have to confess their sins and ask Jesus into their heart. They don't know all that. They don't confess. They don't profess that God raised him from the dead. They just don't know the recipe. So it'd be like this. At Christmas time, it's like if you went to a house and there was big turkey cooking in the kitchen, and you're sitting out on the porch, and the families and everybody's inside there, and they're smelling this turkey, and you can smell that turkey through the porch. From the crack in the window on the porch, I can smell that turkey. I can hear some voices in there. But if you can't get inside, if you're locked out, that's what's happening with people with Jesus at Christmas. They don't know how to get in. They don't know the way to really experience what Christmas really means. It's be like sitting in the parking lot, the Super Bowl game's going on in the stadium, and you can hear the noise, and you can feel the energy, you can hear the roar of all these people. You know something as awesome is going on there, but you can't get in. You don't have a ticket. Just like getting a ticket to heaven. This time of year, people say there's magic in the air, this magic of Christmas. Well, if we can play along with that, the magic of Christmas would be Jesus. Jesus is the magic of Christmas. They can sense the Holy Spirit. They just don't know the recipe. So it's a great opportunity for us to talk to them about your best friend Jesus at Christmas. Luke 2:11, final verse. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The big idea, next slide, treat Jesus like your real best friend. David's going to come up here as we prepare for communion. You could be the one. You could be the one to solve the warm, fuzzy feel of Christmas this year to someone that doesn't know, that doesn't have Jesus as their best friend. Jesus is my Lord, my Savior, and my best friend. Amen.